Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, executive coach, author, speaker, and confidence catalyst. My book is the it's the bestseller, and it is the Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations book. Almost 300 pages of valuable content gained from over 25 years of my business career. So I'm delighted to join you. I have my guest, hopefully joining me very soon, Dr. Meribeth Dame. And we're going to be talking today a little bit about this topic of using your voice in a more powerful way. Now, as you know, if you've listened to my show before, this show is all about showcasing women who have risen from some sort of chaos to confidence, tragedy to triumph. My last guest was Kelly Filato, the beautiful burn survivor, two times TEDx speaker, who joined me and shared her story. And wow, what a story that was, being, you know, burned 75% of her body over, when she was just two, and all of the things that had been instrumental in her life leading up to the massive success that she's having today and her beautiful documentary showcasing her story. So if you haven't listened to that replay yet, hop down further on my Facebook page or send me a personal message if you can't see it. And I'm happy to share that replay link. So the Words, Women, and Wisdom show really is about inspiring women. It's about giving hope. And when you don't necessarily have the confidence that you feel you need in life, you know, maybe through listening to a story from somebody else who's been through something that's really incredible, and to learn what they're doing now gives that spark of hope. And that's what this show is all about. Do I have Mary Beth on the line?
Yes, you do.
Oh, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Now, I'm up in sunny Calgary, Alberta. We do have clouds, but right now the sun's out and it's at the base of the Rocky Mountains in Canada here. And where are you calling from today?
I'm in June gloom, Southern California.
California.
Yeah, okay. Apparently we have June gloom in June, so it's about to end, but we get clouds.
Lovely. Well, hopefully you were nowhere near the fires that happened last summer, where, you know, the radio station BBS that we're broadcasting on ended up having to completely move because it got, you know, burned to the ground. So hopefully you were clear of that.
We were far away, thank goodness.
Yeah, lovely. All right. So my guest is an established voice coach. Now, this is a really interesting topic that we're going to be talking about today. As many of you know, I have a focus on helping women to elevate their confidence, and I do it through using more powerful words. So that's what the essence of my book is about, 40 different words and word concepts, to showcase how when we change just one word, it can make such a huge difference. And a really simple example in the book, which was actually even showcased last week at a conference I was at, the Lead with Purpose conference that I spoke at with the Nest Foundation, was the difference in intention and energy behind the word should versus the word could. You know, should is all about obligation, whereas could is all about this light energy of possibility. And it just makes such a massive difference to how we are communicating when we have the strength. So Mary Beth, you've been working in this field for many, many years. You have been studying and conducting major choral works. You've been a musical director. You've been working in community theater, voice and vocal consultant to film. You also have a focus on, you know, presence in performance, vocal anatomy for voice professionals. And we'll get to hear a little bit more later about one of your particular programs that you're sharing. And it sounds like Yes. You've traveled across Europe, North America, working as a coach and mentor in communication skills, voice on stage for speakers, lots of beautiful things that you're doing. So welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show.
Thank you. That's quite a welcome. Let me just start by saying something about your, you were talking about words, because my work is usually saying how you say those words. But I'd like to just say a little bit about should and could, because in the first book that I wrote, I had a friend who was editing it for me, and she came back to me and she said, "Do you mean to be preaching at these people?" And I said, no, I want to share, you know. She said, "Then you need to get rid of all the shoulds." And this was when we didn't have computers that went find the word should and change it. I went through the whole manuscript and reworded every sentence that had should in it.
Yeah.
And that took some doing. But it does make a difference.
Well, thank goodness now that we do have that find button on Microsoft Word, so we can do a search and replace. Makes it a lot easier. Yeah.
Yeah, if we could do that in our brains as well, it would be nice.
Well, I am, you know, people are always surprised. I'm actually quite a bit older than I look. But, I mean, I remember taking my very first office management course, and it included typing. And they made us learn how to type on a manual typewriter with carbon paper. And, you know, it was before the autocorrect tape came out, which, of course, doesn't help on carbon paper anyway. But it really did make it so much easier. Thank goodness technology has advanced.
Oh, so the difference is phenomenal.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started in this beautiful work that you're doing. How did that all start?
Oh, my God. It started when I was, like, 2 or 3 years old. I was first put into dance class, which I loved. But apparently, according to the woman next door who took care of me all the time when my parents were working, I sang all day long from day to night. And we were at a beach where it was not heavily populated. I was out playing by the ocean, playing in the sand, not overseen, you know. It was a day when they trusted kids, and somehow we didn't think of going swimming without anybody out there. And I had all that wonderful space, really, to be me. And I ended up just having a love affair with the human voice. It was my passion. So singing was what I wanted to do. But it's also interesting talking about shoulds. When you listen to other people, well, and at that time, women were not really encouraged to go into the arts because you couldn't make a living. And that's still true when they say that to people. And also, the other thing I was interested in was medicine. My dad's friends are all doctors. And women, oh, well, you'll waste your education. You'll get married. You won't do it, blah, blah. So there were a lot of shoulds. So I went to college, I majored in singing and performance, but it was always with hesitation that I needed to work. So I didn't go full time into performance. I got to New York by getting my master's degree. And so that was wonderful, but I kept staying in the academic world because I could use my singing and perform and then satisfy sort of my need and everybody else's need for some kind of full-time work that wasn't risky. And I did that. I loved it. I loved being in the academic world. It was kind of like living inside an Encyclopedia Britannica with all the very bright people I was around. And so I could satisfy a lot of huge curiosity I had. But after my first teaching job, I went back to get my doctorate because I wanted to stay in the academic world, and I ran into a mentor who wanted someone who understood the voice. And so he put me into an anatomy course in the dental school, and I survived it. Not, you know, being a musician, going into an anatomy course at medical school level was rather daunting. So I survived it, and then I was made a teaching assistant and then full-time instructor in music and anatomy. And that followed me around for the next 20 years. I was doing both, and it was sort of an amazing kind of experience. But in the academic world, I found myself lost, in a sense, in that I was doing that, but I was missing something. And I didn't really quite know what it was. And part of it, I found out later, was that that so mystical spiritual thing I had as a kid on the beach. And I won a grant to study in London at the Royal College of Surgeons in the doing research on voice. But what happened was I did that, but I also ended up going to adult classes there in acting, singing, dancing. I got back to my roots, to my creative roots. And then I got into the alternative healing world, which I had been at the Royal College of Surgeons, so, oh, my God, I wasn't going to do alternative healing. But it just hit me, and I spent the next 35 years in Europe. I went back to honor my sabbatical, resigned a tenured professorship, and went back to England with nothing in my pocket except a desire to follow my heart once again. So wow. I ended up doing teaching and then studying every kind of alternative thing I could, like cranial sacral, like polarity therapies. I did hand stuff. And in the end, I did energy work with the mind. And I began to relate that to the voice. And I realized that a lot of our teaching in how we use our voice, how we think on stage, what we do with ourselves in the presence of other people, how important that is energetically, because we are affecting the energy and they are affecting ours. And I realized that a lot of our teaching around how we present ourselves in public was actually blocking us and closing us down. So therein began the adventure of changing the way we approach being in public, using the voice, you know, and so forth. Well, I'll shut up for a second, let you get a word in. But was the beginning of it.
It's so interesting, and I certainly can directly connect with what you're saying. When I think back about 4 years ago, when I was actually working in my previous business, which was called The Shattered Ceiling, the energy around that business was one of striving and very sharp edges in the logo, you know, like a shard of glass. And I ended up burning out because I was basically working on the contracts that paid the most money, and I burned out. So when I, you know, took a step back and took 3 months off and, you know, reflected and rebranded, I did some work with my coach around energetic resonance. And, you know, that's been a big part of my work for the past, you know, 4 years. And even more so when I'm out doing, you know, a lot of speaking engagements now, I mean, I can feel the difference when I'm speaking passionately about something that is my truth. It resonates differently. And I don't know if you can explain a little bit more about that with your wisdom and knowledge about, you know, voice and the, you know, the functionality of it through your anatomy learnings at med school. But How does resonance, where does resonance come from? What's your thoughts around that?
Well, the physical resonance that we have, if you're looking at the physical body and the just sort of vocal technique as such, if you think about that, it comes from, first of all, the alignment of your body and the space that you have in your throat. So, and it's a soft structure. So it's not like an instrument with a hard resonating board. So it's very changeable. In fact, I'm going to give you an example. There was a young woman here where I lived the other night who was loud and raucous. And one thing she said, and her voice was really harsh. And I actually pulled out my phone and checked the decibel level. It was 87. Well, your hearing begins to be damaged at 90. So you can tell that was a horribly loud voice. And she had a bit to drink, but she was saying her boss didn't like her. And she's very clever and very good at what she does. And for me, it meant that there's a good possibility that she was turning people off very badly with her voice because it had no resonance. It was squeezed out and it was harsh. When she talked normally, it was perfectly fine. But when she used that voice, it was really hard. And until somebody tells her that knows and knows how to correct it, she's not going to know why she's turning people off. Well, so that's one aspect of resonance.
Yeah. Very interesting.
To get back to the other aspect of it, it's an energy field thing. Once you're centered in your body and your voice, your instrument, your physical instrument is able to work at its best, then you have the possibility through your intent, through your passion, through your love of what you're talking about, to send that energy out 360 degrees. So you can, in a way, be a surround sound speaker as a person. But it means understanding that, because most people who speak, just like right now, you're in front of a microphone, people send their head first into the microphone. Now, my voice is a bit raspy today, but if I poke my head out, then this is the sound you get, and it's not very good. So it changes the physical shape, but it also takes away the possibility of me conceiving that I've got a back to me. Most people think only front, so they're aiming sound out through that horrible word that people have used called projection, which to me, if anybody uses it, I find them money. They're not allowed to use that word in my presence. But if I think of myself as a center with resonance behind me on the sides and in the front, then I will have much more space to my sound. And when people want to increase sound, I always say, increase your space.
Well, that's really intriguing because even as we've been speaking in this interview, I can detect the difference in your power and resonance when you're talking so lovingly about the work that you do and how you do it. And it has a different quality to it, a different tone to it, and a different energy to it than when we first got on the call. And it could have been that, you know, we had a little technology hiccup at the beginning, which, you know, right. Which can very easily throw people off. And
exactly.
So, you know, once you got into your groove talking about your passions and how you help, you know, singers and speakers develop, you know, their inner and outer selves through their messaging, your voice shifted completely.
Yeah, and that happens with people. And I've gone in, I remember working with a radio announcer some long time ago, but she was from a country that had been overthrown. She was working with BBC, and they were concerned about her voice and the sound of it. But she broadcast back to her own people, to her own country. And I was talking with her. I've worked with her voice a bit, but I said to her, I said, tell me something. How much do you love your people? And she couldn't go back because her family had been exiled. So this was, you know, part of it. And she said, a lot. I said, well, then that needs to come through every time you do a radio broadcast. And she changed. Everything changed about the way she presented. So I did nothing technically about her voice. I couldn't work with that for days.
How interesting.
But, yeah.
Wow.
So one of the frustrating things when I watch speakers is when they think they have to do something extra that's not them to say what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And yes, people need training, but they need to be themselves and in their own bodies and in their own passion when they speak. And when they do, they are healing to be around.
It's so true. I mean, I have a colleague who is an amazing sculptor, and she talks about, you know, the rock or the piece of wood that she's working with, you know, has a form inside it. You just need to strip away all the excess, and that's really what getting down to your authenticity in today's world is all about. And, you know, we've become so commercialized, and you know, women especially, because we have the opportunity to, you know, enhance our physical presence, you know, first impressions, etc., so much that it's very easy to sort of trip a little bit too far to one side, where all of a sudden the authenticity is so covered up that you can't see it anymore. You can't feel it. And particularly with voice, that resonance, you can't hear it. It kind of has this tinny sound to it. So if you're sharing, I know a lot of the listeners are women entrepreneurs, business owners, some speakers and authors as well that are listening. So if you had a couple of key tips. I mean, you've already shared about the importance of, you know, almost like a surround sound with resonance. Mm-hmm. But is there two other tips maybe that you could share that they probably wouldn't know unless they'd worked at a deep level with a voice coach or consultant?
Well, I wouldn't even know this necessarily with a voice coach. The most important thing you can do is keep your feet on the ground. I have seen so many women try to speak on one leg. I can't tell you, but not only to keep your feet on the ground, but to keep them pointed straight forward. When your feet are turned out a little bit, as in, say, ballet, first position or something like that, it weakens your energy field. And I can't tell you the exact workings of it, but once you get your feet straight, the voice drops into the body and it gives it more resonance, which gives it a rounder, deeper quality to the sound. And women particularly, when they get nervous or if they're mimicking all the Hollywood people, which I get out here, then you get these voices that aren't theirs, that are too high, and they're not taken as seriously. And that doesn't mean you should push down your voice, you know, not that. But it's just be your voice, let your voice be you, rather than only part of you. You know, up here, it doesn't work. And we get a lot of that. And, of course, fear, nervousness of speaking brings the energy up. So I always say, first of all, keep your feet on the floor, keep them pointed straight forward. And secondly, when you breathe, think of breathing from the bottom of your spine. That has to be imaginary. That's not what we do physically. But energetically, it works so that you're not breathing high in your chest and cutting off your voice. So that's two, and I'll add a third. Make sure your head is really over your shoulders. When your head is poked forward, it cuts off your throat, and it does change the warmth and quality of the sound.
So
how's that?
Wow, that's fabulous. I'm going to, as you're talking, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to go back and play one of my speaking videos and check for my, you know, check myself out for those things.
Yeah. Well, I always say bring the audience to you. Don't go out to them. Bring them to you.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of times, inexperienced speakers, they practice their talk, but not necessarily thinking about how that is coming across and engaging with the audience. And certainly I've heard, you know, many stories from different speakers. You know, Karen McGregor talks with Speaker Success Formula. She talks about, you know, changing your energy and how that can so often derail when at the end of a talk, if you have something that you wanted to share, you know, some sort of offer or program that you're wanting to engage the audience with, you know, how it's so important to keep your same energy level and tone so it's not feeling to the audience like, who's this Jekyll and Hyde person? You know, you've been sharing in this warm, loving way, and then all of a sudden you go into your offer and it's this crusty, hard energy that goes off, you know, you must buy. I know that we don't have a full hour together. So how much more time do you have before you have to leave? Because I want to be conscious of your time and respectful.
10 minutes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit then about the program that you have evolved, the newest one, and tell me a little bit more about what makes it unique and why you're the person that is so qualified to teach this. Your opportunity for showcasing.
I'm qualified because I'm old and have a lot of experience. No. I think an energetic approach is a little bit different. And one of the things that I get anyone going on stage or doing a podcast or doing a workshop, one of the things I get them to do is to set the intent. And we know from all the old Chinese things and the old Eastern philosophies that energy follows thought. But we forget to do it. And one of the things I talk about a lot is, what's your intent? Not only what do you want to accomplish, what do you want them to take away? And for some people, that might be, I want people to trust what I'm saying. Or it might be, this is an important piece of information, and if they don't get it, the business will hurt, you know. It can depend on, it can be many, many things. I mean, mine used to be before a concert when I was singing, was I want people to go away feeling better than they came. And almost always I would get some kind of feedback that is what happened. And so it's very interesting. We can go, okay, yeah, but it's very, very important to set an intent. Whether you're going in to speak to a boss, whether you're giving a keynote speech, or whether you're talking to a committee, it doesn't matter. Or giving a podcast where you never even see the people with whom you're speaking. So that's one thing. And second is not only the kind of language that we use for speaking, the kind of language that we use for thinking about how we prepare a presentation. And too many people approach presentation by writing it all out and then trying to present a work of literature. And we don't talk that way. So my first approach is about intent and self-talk. Then we work with balance. And there's some wonderful energetic breathing things that not only center you but change your voice, that are not your typical breathing for voice kinds of teaching, not the historical, say, old diaphragm singing teacher stuff, which is fine, but it's not as natural as a more energetic and imaginary approach to it. So that, and then how you construct your talk, and then a lot about presence, what is it that goes into a person's presence on stage? And a lot of the speaking clubs and some of the common places that people join do a very good job of teaching basic speaking, timing, which is really important. But they don't work with presence. They don't work with voice. And they don't give that added, what I call, compelling factor. What makes that person a master at speaking?
Right. So I think the program that your newest program, I think, is Voice on Stage for Speakers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This is an online course, and it's got videos, explanations. I mean, you can do it online without me in your own time, but it's very
okay.
helpful.
So let's make sure that those people listening who are really intrigued by all of the wealth of information that you have to share, where do they go to get more information on that particular program?
Okay, so if you can remember voiceonstage.org, that is the site, and it will also have a button to lead to the course. The course
voiceonstage.org. Okay, great.
Yeah, and the course is selling for $2.99. There's a discount price right now for anyone who's listening, and the code for that is STAGE20.
So
and that's 20% discount.
STAGE20?
Yep, that's the code.
Okay, and that's a 20% discount. Wow, that's very generous of you. Thank you so much for offering that, Mary Beth. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Cool. So this is an online program. So basically it's, I'm looking at it here. Gain more confidence with your voice and message. Develop a powerful voice that impacts sales and performance. Lose the anxiety that prevents your authenticity on stage. So really intriguing. So I encourage listeners to hop on voiceonstage.org later on and check out what that's all about, because obviously, from Mary Beth's wealth of experience, you don't get to be consulting with film productions and theater without having deep, deep expertise. And when you add the energy work that's amalgamated into this process, it really does bring to life how you can use your voice in a much more powerful way. And when you're able to share your message with truth and energy and resonance and positive intention, it makes a massive difference, massive difference. It's about serving versus selling, right?
Absolutely. It is about serving.
Yeah. Lovely. So is there anything else that you wanted to leave us with? I say I want to be respectful of your time. Any other things?
Well, my little subtext is, your voice is the sound of your spirit. And I think this is an important thing for all of us today, is to realize that it's not just our superficial persona that comes through your voice. It's everything. And as you know, when you hear somebody, you go, oh, are you okay today? You don't know why you said that, except that you heard something in their voice, especially if it's over the phone. And I'll say, too, also that if you are not visible, so people are not able to read any body language, any movement that you're doing, your voice is your major message. So it's really important that that is used well, and it really represents you.
Yeah, so, so true. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure. It's been really informative. I'm certainly going to take away some of these things. And as I say, check out a couple of my own videos where I can see my face.
Right. Yeah.
And my head position.
Yeah, even with the introduction of the dogs.
Well, that just added some character, and it was in authenticity. So, Thank you for sharing. I will let you go, and I will make sure that when we have the replay available, that we're also quoting that discount so that those interested in pursuing that with you can get access to that. And thank you for your generosity and for your time today.
It's been a total pleasure. Thank you so much, Yvonne.
Thank you. So have a great day. And I look forward to reconnecting with you at, hopefully at another Evolutionary Business Council event.
Absolutely. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye now.
Okay. Bye for now, and we'll continue with the show. Let's just take a short interlude. Welcome back, everybody. What an interesting lady Dr. Marybeth Dame is, with her work around voice and voice coaching, and particularly supporting speakers. Talking about speakers, I was actually scheduled to speak on Saturday at the Fearless Women's Summit in Edmonton. And as several of you know who saw my Facebook post, I had to divert my energy instead to working and being with my son. So while I was at the hospital, I was looking at, I put quite a bit of energy into putting my presentation together for that conference, 5 Keys to Radical Growth in Business and Life Using Confident Conversations. So I thought I would share a little bit of that presentation, since nobody in Edmonton got to see it after all, because I couldn't get to Edmonton. I thought I would share a little bit of that with you as listeners today, because it continues on around this theme of using your voice in a more powerful way. And I love Mary Beth's quote, "Your voice is the sound of your spirit." And I think every single one of us has a desire to continue to grow. I mean, we're like plants, really. You're either growing or dying. So in our growth, we continue to expand. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but in nature, the Chinese bamboo is one of the 1,500 different grass bamboo species that actually lays dormant for over 5 years. Yeah, 5 years without any growth. And then suddenly at 5 years, it grows 2 feet a day for 45 days. So in 6 weeks, it's actually shot up 90 feet. Radical, radical growth. Now, if you think about how this correlates to us as human beings, we might be attending school, we might be taking courses, we might be expanding with online programs such as Mary Beth's and doing a lot of learning. But it's actually when we put this into practice, which is almost like that dormant stage exploding, and we start taking action, that's where we have our biggest learnings. It's not necessarily through the theory. It's through the application. I was at a conference last week. I talked a little bit about it, the Lead with Purpose conference, which was in support of the Nest Foundation. And we talked about resilience. And there were so many stories about women who had gone through, again, a tragic set of circumstances, and yet had found the inner strength, learned along the way what they could have a choice about and what they had to take action on and how that resulted in them moving their success level. Now, they're all coming from different places and they're at different success levels, the speakers, but it was such an insightful and moving day. One of the video clips that was shared that directly relates to Mary Beth's comments was an important video showcasing the work about the Nest Foundation, and it was called I'm Fine. And if you think about it, how often do we in our daily lives hear that come back when you ask someone, so, you know, how are you doing today? I'm fine. And fine is really not a descriptor of what's actually going on under the surface. When I interviewed different influential and confident women as I was building content for my book, The Words, Women, and Wisdom book, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, one of the women I interviewed was actually talking about self-care. So this is Christina Marlette. Hello, Christina, if you're listening. And she talked again about this word fine and was quoted in the book. And I think very often it's a mask that we put on when we really don't want to talk any more deeply about how we're really feeling. So pay attention to when you have a close friend or a colleague who you can see from their body language, combined with them saying, I'm fine, that they're actually probably not fine. You know, if their eyes are lowered, their head's drooping, their shoulders are drooping down, as well as a low tone of voice or low energy, and they're saying, I'm fine, usually they're not. So it's an opportunity as a caring friend to pose another question, just say, I'm curious. That, I'm wondering if I can support you in something. That I'm fine doesn't feel like being fine. Is this something I can help you with? And see what happens. So radical growth. Basically, what I'm all about is helping women to elevate their confidence. So, you know, I know that, you know, Statistics Canada records, you know, how women's earnings are compared to men. So if I look at Stats Canada, you know, 2015 data, 87 cents on the dollar, sorry, 81 cents on the dollar in 2015, the needle is slowly moving where women are actually getting paid closer to what a man is being paid for doing exactly the same job in many industries, but the number is still only up to 87 cents in 2017. So we can do so much more to elevate that rate and be paid what we're worth when we speak up, when we have the confidence to do so. Many of you know my story already. I grew up with a dad who was in the World War, Second World War, came back with PTSD. He had a bullet in Dunkirk, and he just didn't get treated. And the result on my mom was to have him be very angry, very closed off emotionally, and it was not a great environment. My mom literally had the power drained right out of her with his harsh words and attitude. And so, you know, my role model in life was actually a reverse role model, where I saw what happened when you were having that confidence drained out of you versus being built up. And that's one of the critical pieces that caused me to write the book, thinking about, you know, what had I learned in life and how had I managed to turn my success around, and what was it that had started that journey? And it was watching my mom losing her confidence. So it's really important, especially at work, to be heard and to be valued. So if we think about Dr. Stephen Covey's work, you know, his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 5 is about seeking first to understand and then to be understood. So in a work setting, a lot of times I have women saying, you know, I don't know if I'm doing a great job or not. So if we go back to that concept, seek first to understand, you know, when you first land a new position, or you're on a new project team, or you're being given a bigger responsibility, it's really important to understand, how do we measure success in this role? What are the top 3 things that I will know in 3 months if I'm doing a great job at this organization? How is my boss going to measure success? And if you know that at the beginning of the conversation, then it's much easier. Excuse that alarm. It's much easier to then map out your activities, the connections you need to make, what you need to focus on, your priorities for that day, for that week, in order to make sure that you are achieving goals that are being measured, the right goals that will demonstrate your success. So seek first to understand and then to be understood. So once you've got some success built up, you've had a chance to pay attention to how the success of that role is being measured, then it's about showcasing how you have achieved your results. So what did you do? When did you do it? How did you do it? How did you measure it? And then what are you going to do in the future to make sure that it's working well, but how could it be even better? So think about showcasing. It's not about bragging. It's about sharing with metrics and with experience what it is that you've been doing, how you've been doing it, and what the results are. So I encourage you to reflect on that. It's actually mentioned in my book, in one of the chapters, talking about how to showcase your experience without bragging. And when it's purely stating the truth, it's just an honest first impression. It's a first reaction. Here's what I did. Here's how I did it. Here's the impact of this. And the bigger the impact, the more likelihood that you will have of being able to step into a bigger, broader role. Because no one's going to give you a promotion until they know that you're capably accomplishing what you have on your plate right now. So I'm just going to run a little bit of an intro video to my book. If you haven't heard what the book is about, I think you'll find this interesting.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
It's been a bestseller. It was a bestseller one day after it launched. And thank you to those women who helped to support that book launch. So the next thing coming up for me, I have an event on Thursday, July 25th, and it's a repeat of a successful session called How Bold Women Leaders Foster Innovation Power for Business Sustainability. So well aware that, you know, springtime generates new growth, and very often new business cycles trigger leadership growth opportunities. So it's time for bold women leaders to grow in success, grow in numbers, and make a bigger impact. So I'm hosting a breakfast session at the Petroleum Club, Calgary Petroleum Club here in Calgary, Canada. And I'm actually inviting a guest speaker, Dr. Sandeep Lally, who is the CEO and president for the Calgary Chamber of Commerce. So she'll be giving an address as well. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about advantages of women's leadership competencies. You know, what are bold women leaders? How do we define them to begin with? Ways that women leaders in particular can leverage the advantage of innovation power. So this is that untapped resource that you just don't get to access unless employees are feeling comfortable, they're feeling trusted, and they're happy in their workplace. And women have a great nurturing, natural capability. It's in our DNA to help nurture and collaborate to have an empowered work environment. Three modern methods to elevate employee engagement and increase customer sales. And I'm also speaking about my workplace culture for women's equality assessment tool. How can you assess if your workplace is ready and receptive to have confident, powerful women and see them advance clearly? So it's really a session for corporate women leaders, women business owners, HR leaders, and progressive organizations that want to explore inclusion and expand the focus on women in leadership. Starts at 7:30, runs until 11 a.m. Breakfast is included. You can find it on my Facebook page, yvonne.silver33. There's details on there. You can also look it up on Eventbrite, and it's called How Bold Women Leaders Foster Innovation Power for Business Sustainability, July 25th. I look forward to seeing you there. If you have insights and have enjoyed this session today, I encourage you to join me again in 2 weeks on the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show on Tuesday, July 9th. See you all there, or talk to you there. Have a great week, everybody.